What's up, everyone? Welcome to the third episode of The Sideline Story. My name is Justin Benson once again. Sorry I couldn't get an episode out last week. I was on vacation with my family, but I'm going to come back this hard with a bang this next episode. Thank you for everyone who's sticking tuned, paying attention to my podcast, and listening. Thank you for the support and the love that everybody's shown to me. Thank you for everything that y'all do. I appreciate it all. We're going to get right into this episode. Start off with UNA football as they opened their fall camp on Wednesday, July 31st. The Lions last season finished 7-3 in their first Division I season. They returned a bunch of starters on the offensive side of the ball who averaged 25 points per game last season and had a total offense of 3,880 yards and 29 touchdowns. Coach Willis, who has been pleased with the first two practices, gave the team a B-plus on the first day back. The team has adopted a motto of one beat, which is everybody sticking together and being on the same one accord. The offense is led by senior quarterback Christian Lopez. Lopez transferred in last season and won the starting job, threw for 14 touchdowns and 2,184 yards, while also running for 5 touchdowns as well for the Lions last year. While the Lions lost leading running back Damian Cox last season, they still have another solid running back in Terrence Humphrey. Humphrey ran for 69 touches and 298 yards last season, and this is his senior season, so he'll be a big time back for the Lions as a leader in that running back group. As I stated before, the Lions returned a lot of their playmakers on the side of the ball. They returned 4 star-studded athletes and receiving core who combined for 14 touchdowns and 1,861 yards total last year. Andre Little, Cortez Hall, Jacoby Bird, and Dexter Boykin are 4 guys who came in together as freshmen and are now the leaders of receiving core as redshirt sophomores. Hall, the 6'1", 206-pound receiver from Hoover, Alabama, has 39 receptions and 591 yards and 4 touchdowns. Bird, who had 48 receptions for 517 yards, is a 5'10 speedster from Florence, Alabama, who had 5 touchdowns. Boykin, who's a 6'3", 205-possession receiver from Fairfield, Alabama, has 35 receptions for 496 yards. And lastly, Andre Little, who is a 6-foot speedy wideout from Alaska, had 23 receptions for 257 yards. With these 4 receivers, expect to see another breakout season for these guys, but also expect 2 more receivers who can rotate in and out for the Lions. First, we have redshirt sophomore by the name of Cameron Turner. Turner is a 6'1", 215-pound receiver, a strong physical possession receiver out of Rockdale, Georgia. And second, we have Rashad Nelson, who is a 6'2", senior wideout from Madison, Alabama. These 2 guys could help out the Lions as playmakers that many teams won't be able to plan for, but could come in and make some big-time grabs and big-time plays for the Lions. Now we move to the opposite side of the ball, where the Lions lost a couple starters last season, but also returning some key guys in the secondary. First, the defense will be led by Georgia transfer KJ Smith. Smith, a senior who transferred in last year and made a big impact on the Lions defense, had 30 tackles and 3 interceptions and 5 pass breakups last season. Expect him to be a leader on the defense side of the ball and also in the secondary. Another leader you will have is cornerback A.J. Bracey. He'll be in the secondary as well. Bracey, who is also a senior, had 16 solid tackles last season and 3 interceptions with 4 pass breakups. Bracey, who played productive minutes last year, should have productive minutes again this year and start for the Lions. Now moving on to defense, they will have another returner, their leading tackler last season at linebacker Christian Taylor. Taylor, who's a junior, had 31 solo tackles and also had 31 assisted tackles for the Lions last season, 9.5 tackles for loss, and 2.5 sacks. Taylor, who has played a lot since his freshman season, is now the big-time man at the linebacker position. Although the Lions lost some key pieces last season on defense, I expect them to be able to bounce back and gel together on that side of the ball. Altogether, expect the Lions to be a pretty competitive team again this year. With the experience of the offense and leadership on the defensive side of the ball, the team can gel together and have a winning season. Before I go any further, I want to make an announcement. Draymond Green has just signed a four-year, $100 million extension with the Warriors. And earlier this week, CJ McCollum accepted 3-year, $100 million extension with the Trailblazers. Also, some big news that announced yesterday in the NBA is the Christmas Day games. We'll see LeBron and Anthony Davis take on Kawhi and Paul George at Staples Center. We'll also see Steph and D'Angelo Russell versus James Harden and Russell Westbrook in the new Warriors Arena. Giannis and Joel Embiid versus Ben Simmons. They'll play against each other in Philadelphia that day. The Pelicans with Zion against Denver, Jokic, and Jamal Murray. And also Boston will play Toronto. Christmas Day will be a great day of basketball, especially with the matchup we all wanted in L.A., seeing LeBron versus Kawhi. And also, that just came out earlier today, is They will play each other on opening night. So LA will be a great matchup
the first day, first game of the season, and also on Christmas Day.
So my next topic I'm going to go to is, does Carmelo Anthony deserve a chance in the NBA anymore? So lately, a lot of people have been talking about Carmelo Anthony, and of course, everybody has their own opinion. Some say, of course, like Melo doesn't deserve to be in the league, and Melo's washed up, and he needs to just retire. And then you have the people like me who think Melo can still help on a contending team. Of course, Melo will have to accept that role of coming off the bench. He'll have to accept that he isn't New York Nick Melo, but also feel like he was put in two bad situations with OKC and Houston, which has killed his reputation. Melo is a guy who averaged 22 points for the Knicks and 16 points with the Thunder as a fourth option on the Thunder. Melo can still be a scorer off the bench for a contending team. One big thing they have against Melo is they say Melo can't play defense or Melo can't adjust to the game the way it is now. But one of the big things is defense is definitely a team game. And even with Melo not being able to play defense, you can put him in a position to where his defense isn't as a liability compared to him being on a good team. You see that they do Steph Curry and James Harden, guys who don't play great defense, they put them in situations where they have defensive guys around them. So with Melo, if he can be on a good contending team that off the bench plays great defense, he can put defensive players around him, it can work out. Now for me, I feel like a player like Melo can go to a team like the Lakers and play with LeBron. LeBron is a great leader and also a great friend of Carmelo's, which would help Melo accept his role better because LeBron will be able to talk to him and motivate him even better as teammates and as friends. So I feel like Melo can be that second scoring option in the off the bench. So if you can put Melo in a group with maybe like Rondo, Avery Bradley, Jared Dudley, Melo at the four, JaVale McGee at the five, that would be a lineup of four guys who play defense and then having Melo as the scoring option who could gel together, and they can help put Melo in that defensive spot to where they can learn each other and learn that Melo won't be such a great defender, but he can help and learn how to be a off-the-ball defender, help-side defender that can be on the floor. Melo could be that scorer in the group who would average 14 points a game off the bench any given night. Melo can still score at will, so he can score off the bench for a contending team and help that way maybe they can win a championship and he'll get his championship ring. Melo was on First Take yesterday with an interview with Stephen A. Smith, of course, and he said something that made me really go back and think about it. He said, there's no way him, of all people, cannot make a 15-man roster. And that made me think because, honestly, there's no way you can name a team in the NBA that they're 1 through 15 at spot 13 through 15 that Carmelo Anthony is not better than any of those guys. Carmelo Anthony will go down as one of the best players in the NBA, hands down. No matter what happened these past 2 years, he will be one of the greatest small forwards to ever play the game, scoring-wise at least, for sure. And so there's no way you can tell me that Carmelo Anthony cannot be on an NBA roster this year. I feel like he needs to be on a roster. I mean, that's just my feelings because he can still score the basketball. He can still be productive on a team like the Lakers or the Clippers or something like that to where he can score off the bench. Everybody needs a good go-to score off the bench, and I feel like Melo can still do it. Which, with that being said, it leads us to our next question. Does he deserve a farewell tour? So, in my opinion, this is definitely a tough question because at this point in Melo's career, I mean, why would he deserve a farewell tour? You know, like, he hasn't played in a whole season, technically. He played 10 games with the Rockets, but that wasn't enough to give him a farewell tour. The year before with the Thunder, it's not like he just, you know, lit up the Thunder team for he was still averaging 25. No, like, he dropped down. And I feel like he's messed up his reputation so bad because the teams that he went to made it seem like he was the problem with the team's success. And after 10 games, you really can't see if he's the problem or not. So, at this point, a farewell tour for him probably is not the best bet. Another thing, he hasn't won anything. He went to the conference finals with Chauncey Billups, but he hasn't gone since the Nugget days. He hasn't been in a good market situation where he's been able to win games. They always lost in the first round with the Knicks. It wasn't ever getting past that first round. So I feel like, why would you include a farewell tour for him? When you look at players that, you know, recently did farewell tours, you think Kobe and Dwayne Wade, those two guys won multiple rings. I mean, Paul Pierce did have one technically, but I don't think he deserved one either. He only won one ring. He didn't really
Other than that 2008 year with the Celtics, he really doesn't deserve a farewell tour. He didn't win much without KG and Ray Allen. Melo came on First Take, like I said earlier, and he said he didn't think about having a farewell tour. He didn't want it. He just wanted to play. So, I mean, everybody has their own opinion. Maybe he didn't want one. Maybe he did. That's beside the point. But at this point in his career, he probably doesn't deserve one. The players who, you know, deserve one will be like LeBron's, the Michael Jordans, the Magic Johnsons. Of course, Kobe got his, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, teams like that, players like that who won for their teams and actually, you know, were the leaders on their teams to win. Those guys deserve it more than anything. Melo probably won't go down as a winner or a champion because he hasn't won anything. So that's one thing the farewell tour for Melo can't, I mean, you can't really help it with that. So the last topic of the day for today will be LeBron James. And, I mean, of course, he seems like he's the topic always, and he probably is. But one thing that's come up lately is the way that he supports his son and the way that he cheers on his son and his son's teammates during his AAU circuit games. And for me, a lot of people have said, you know, this is bad. He just wants attention, and he just wants to put himself on a bigger platform and all that stuff. And at this point, it's like, why would LeBron James, the best player in the NBA, basically the NBA as we've seen this year, the ratings for the NBA weren't as good because LeBron wasn't in the playoffs. But why would he need to put himself on a bigger platform, so to say, like, he's already the platform. So for me with this, I feel like it's no wrong with LeBron wanting to support his son, support his son's friends, and all that. Like, some of these guys don't have parents. LeBron didn't grow up with a father. So he's just trying to, you know, do what he didn't get to get as a kid growing up. LeBron even said himself, like, it would have been great for him to, you know, been traveling all these AAU tournaments and had his father even there to support him. So for him to grow up as a father, like, as a kid, and not have his father, why would he do the same thing to his kids and go and do the same thing to the kids who don't have fathers who play for his team and play with his son's team? He's just giving the kids something that he didn't have. He's just making sure that the kids feel motivated. The kids feel like they're appreciated for playing the way they do. The kids love having LeBron around. If you see, like, Dior Johnson came to Twitter and was like, y'all don't know what's going on. This is more like a family than anything. Gabe Cupps writing in LeBron's Instagram comments. Like, those guys are basically LeBron's second kids. I mean, you have Bronny, of course. Bronny's going to be a great player. So why would LeBron want to do his son and not be there to support him? I mean, I understand you can say he's too overreacting and too ecstatic because he's hopping on the floor. But, I mean, let's be honest. If your son dunks at 14, you're going to be hype with him. Like, especially if you know how basketball goes, you play basketball, you're going to be jumping up and down the court with him. You're going to want to dap him up. You're going to want to do that. Like, that's just how it is if you've played basketball and know about the game of basketball. For me, I grew up playing AAU basketball, of course, with all my friends. And making a shot and looking in the stands and you see your mom and dad there clapping and cheering you on, that's a great feeling. Like, a lot of kids nowadays don't have that. So to go to these tournaments and see your father and or even your friend's father and he's supporting you just like you're his own kid, that's reassurance for the kid. Like, saying that, yeah, I don't have a father, but I can still do what I need to do without a father. I can still make it to the league without a father. I can still be a productive man without a father. LeBron's just giving these kids hope that they don't have. And that's what he does with everything. The I Promise School, like, those kids don't have parents. Some of them do have parents. Some of them have parents that don't even have a GED, don't have anything. And he's just trying to give the parents and the kids hope. And I feel like that's not a problem. Like, what more can he do? What more can he do as an NBA player than give people hope in the future? And that's what he's doing. So with that being said, thank you again for listening to this podcast, episode 3. My name is Justin Benson, and you guys have a great day.